the tales of hope.
I'm Jeremy Greer.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this is Days of Future Cast, the podcast that took a long break, but is now back to finish Age of X, because we're that committed to Age of X that we had to come back and finish it three months later.
It's a 3 month break is not something this storyline supports very well.
No, not at all.
I came into this, I was like, oh, we should do this. This is kind of, you know, a fun little snack-sized alternate universe. And I still agree with that mostly.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But boy, you just stop reading it for 3 months and you go back and I'm like, it's hard to know why I was ever concerned with this.
why did I care? Why did I care about any of these people?
Just to head this off, because people will probably ask, we are looking forward to and planning to talk about X-Men 97.
Yes. Comes out March 20th. We probably won't cover it immediately, like with the episodes. Like, we'll finish Age of X and that'll probably take us into April. So you can expect episodes after that, kind of depending on Gary and I's schedule. We both have trips and health stuff happening like during this time frame. So like, just bear with us. We're going to do it as much as we can. I would imagine though, like, I'm going to sit down and watch all 10 episodes immediately if they're out. Like, I'm just like it's going to be like a 4 hour marathon for me. I don't know about you, but like, I'm going to watch as many as they put out on Disney Plus immediately.
It's going to depend on if Liv wants to watch, if my wife wants to watch. If she does, then we'll see.
Gary, you're the man in this relationship.
I know.
And you should put your foot down and tell your woman that she has to watch these cartoons.
I get to watch cartoons. yeah, that's an exceedingly good husband.
You're going to drink when you want. You're going to go out when you want. And you're going to watch cartoons when you want. Yeah.
And I never want to do those first two. You're really lucky. Really lucked out with a third one I want to do.
Yeah, I never want to drink. I never want to whore. I never want to go outside. Yeah. Like, I just want to watch cartoons. Yeah. Like, well, how much is that? Yeah. Like. Yeah, that's very funny.
But it's we appreciate everybody sticking around, keeping your RSS feeds.
Yes, going, yes. Thank you very much for this. We do very much appreciate that. So we're going to start it off where we left off with in Age of X Chapter 4, which is New Mutants 23, which has a cover that looks like Magneto is about to suck on Rogue's fingers a little bit, like just do a little foreplay.
And this is one of the biggest titty Rogues we've ever had.
It's absolutely stacked Rogue. Yeah,
like very top heavy Rogue as well, speaking of X-Men 97 with the discourse around that, and then also exceedingly strong nipples on this Rogue.
Pushing, because you gotta imagine, you know, like the polymer suits that they wear are pretty, they gotta be pretty like tight fitting, but also like pretty thick and everything, and like these nipples are extending out quite a bit. It's very horny.
The surprisingly intimate cover.
Yes.
For and has nothing to do with the contents,
not at all. This does not occur in the comic book at all.
I'm gonna do something we never do.
Okay.
And it's gonna be a little bit boring for a second, but I'm gonna read the previously on.
Okay.
Just its entirety, because I could benefit from it, and I'm sure listeners could as well.
Yeah, let's do it.
If you're not reading along with us, this is the premise of this thing that we're in the middle of. In a world where the X-Men never existed and mutant kind has been hunted to extinction, the few remaining mutants band together to make their last stand, taking refuge in Fortress X, a small city surrounded by a telekinetic force field wall. The mutants spend each day beating back the forces that would see them extinguished and shoring up their barricade. When Legacy, that's Rogue, sees a fellow mutant, Catherine Pride, travel through the force field wall to the world outside, she is desperate to know what she saw. Using borrowed mutant abilities, Legacy infiltrates the brig where Pride is being kept and finds a comatose prisoner by the name of Charles Xavier. Drawn to Xavier, Legacy uses her mutant ability to steal his, only to unleash a devastating wave of psychic force over the fortress. Accused of instigating an attack on Fortress X, Legacy goes on the run, hunted by Danielle Moonstar and her squad. While Legacy is able to evade Moonstar with help from her ally and friend Gambit, it's not enough to escape Magneto, the fortress's general, who buries the pair in a tidal wave of scrap metal.
Gambit getting friend-zoned in the description.
but not in the issue.
Not in the issue, but definitely in the previously on. Yeah.
Yeah. This was a big cliffhanger.
Yes.
That Magneto has crushed them.
That's why we took a 3 month break to get to let you guys really sit on this cliffhanger.
Make sure the suspense, the suspense to really brew, because people were going to be like on fucking bated breath where this went.
For something that happened 10 years ago.
Yeah. And which charitably did not make very much of a difference.
We're kind of
in the X-Men.
We're kind of casually rewatching Lost. And I think that's a show that like really hinged upon its like cliffhanger endings a little bit. And it is just very, very weird to be able to binge that show and be like, all right, what happens next? Like, what's going on?
Yep, and just know.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to start out with some Magneto stuff. Magneto is hovering above Fortress X, looking down at the battle below, and he sees these lights. And these lights represent a death. So as the human forces are attacking the mutant forces, because the human forces are concerned about stealing technology, about the mutants stealing their technology, when the humans are detected to like have a low vital sign, they just get an instant suicide like bomb. Basically, they get exploded. So all of these lights that he sees on the battlefield represent like a death of a human.
Yeah, and this is we're firmly in humanitarian Magneto.
Yep.
You know, and he's talking about how in war you have to keep a part of your soul alive. Like, he shouldn't be taking joy in this.
Yes.
You know.
And we see some, like, on-the-ground battlefield stuff where, like, the mutants are fighting and things like that. There's a lot of these, like, here's a bunch of mutants in slightly different outfits than you're used to. Like, can you identify them?
Yes.
Panels? And I'm like, ooh. Like, I'm
generally
running low on my X-Men names, to be honest with you. Like, yeah. I feel like I'm not an X-Men expert.
It's letting us know that morale is really low. Because yes. People are, they know that Magneto, you know, in the quote unquote, you know, killed Gambit Rogue, and this is fucked up. You know, this is not what happened yet. And people are talking about whether it's a good, you know, it was good judgment or not.
And there's some like kind of hints to this being a little unreal when I believe this is Avalanche asks Revenant, like, how do you feel about this? And she just says lost, like, I was on my way home, but I got lost. Like, am I even real? Like, it does, this doesn't even look like me.
That's Hellion,
not here. Avalanche. Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck is Revenant? Is that just like a Jean Grey like side piece or something?
Yes.
Like, what is? Okay, that's what I thought.
It's a weird Jean Grey that is put, you know, brought back from this world.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
This is the Force crew. What are they called? The Force Angels, Force Works.
Force Guardians.
Force Works. That's
Force Guardians.
Force Guardians.
Yeah.
Sounds, all the telekinetics who keep the shield up.
Exactly. Yeah. Legion heads home where he's going to hang out with his mom, Moira.
Who's Legion?
I love this dude. I love this dude's hair.
Background mutants.
Who are these guys? Yeah. This dude, like, let's describe this dude because he looks like a jar from Elden Ring.
Yes, he's got a jar shape, but his head is like if Mojo's dreadlocks were flesh.
Yes, and floating, and that's important. Yes, it's floating up in the air.
And what color is he? I'm colorblind. He looks gray to me, but
he is gray. Yeah, like he is absolutely gray. So you're dead on. Also, like, where did you get this tank top, my friend? Like, I need to know what store
I don't
know. Tank tops from.
Who's making?
Who's making this? XXXXXXL.
On Fortress X.
On Fortress X.
You know. Yeah. Like, on Fortress X, you can get as many X's as you want.
Sure.
Everyone's, you know, Legion here as he's going home to Moira McTaggart, who he lives with. We were introduced to her before, and she's losing it. You know, she's like crying. It's falling apart. It's all going to be destroyed. We're going to lose everything.
And we should mention that, like, the Force Guardians, led by Legion, are, like, the heroes of this whole thing. They're the ones that keep this wall up. They're the ones that kind of support everybody and come in and kind of clear everything out at the end. Like, they are considered the creme de la creme, like the, you know, X-Men prime team, basically. Like, they are...
Yes.
Specifically, Legion is a hero figure, and that's why the dreadlocked dude, gray dude, was, like, so excited to see him. Like, he's basically a celebrity in this cast.
Yes. Whereas in real life, if I saw Legion walk by, I'd first of all, I'd be like, whoa, haircut. And then I would freak out because
I would run away.
Fictional.
I would leave the establishment because who knows what his personalities are going to do.
Bad things are going to happen.
Yeah. I can leave this hamburger joint at any time, Legion. Like, you just let me know what you need me to do.
Yeah. I have the mutant power to go home. And I exercise it often.
My mutant power is just gray ghosting this every establishment that I am
hit
in.
The
just
bricks. The Irish exit, you know, Irish goodbye.
Yep.
That's what they call me. That's my code name.
Hey, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Where'd Jeremy go? Oh, he got into, I don't know.
Yeah. My mutant code name is pretend to take a shit. and I just used it to jet.
We get back over to Magneto.
Magneto. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's talking to X, which is like the voice of the Fortress X, which also is also Danger, I think, at the same time, maybe.
It controls Danger. We don't know exactly, like, we find out what X is during this little bit of the end here. It's kind of implied to be like an AI or something before characters know what it is.
He is going down into kind of the basement of the fortress, like looking for what he tells X is that he's looking for like any insurgents, not insurgents, any like encroaching bombs or anything like that. He's looking for like some suspicious shit, basically.
He's on patrol.
Yeah. But he's going down here because like the signal is bad. So he can't, like, they can't actually watch him when he's down here.
Yes. This is partly his doing. Yes. Like he's adding magnetic fields to it. And we find out that he spared Gambit Rogue. This is kind of where he shunted them using magnets. And he's checking in on them. We get a little bit of, and the one thing, you know, in reading this again, next thing that probably worked for me the first time and worked a little bit less is all of the times where we have to do this song and dance of characters showing up to each other and being like, I promise you, not all is what it seems.
Yeah.
And then them kind of like posturing at each other, but not fighting. And that's fine. Like, I'm not saying I want them to fight necessarily, but this just happens a lot in this book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by volume, it's a lot of, you know, everyone stand down.
Also, it's one of those things that is, the it's not improved by knowing the ending. Like sometimes you can, if you've read an entire series, you know the ending, then it's fun to go back and like see the kind of feints that they were doing towards it, especially if it's like a mystery, right? Like sometimes you go back and reread a mystery and you're like, oh, I didn't pick up that such and such said such and such, which is a clue to what he did in the 1960s or whatever. And this has the opposite effect. Like knowing everything that happens at the end of the book and what's controlling all of this, you're just like, none of this posturing means anything. Like none of this actually is doing anything whatsoever. But there's a lot of this between Magneto and Gambit, talking about, you know, basically like changes, like the war that they're going through and how much it kind of doesn't make sense. And Magneto's saying this and Gambit's like totally not into this at all. Like he doesn't understand it.
War doesn't make sense. You know, they're all, this is, you know, edgy war X-Men.
Yes.
You know, and Magneto's making good points. Like, hey, I remember there were Avengers basically, and whatever side they would be on would win, you know? And why are our enemies doing the same tactic for 3 years? Like, are they stupid? Cause that doesn't make sense. You know? Gambit says, that's just the way the world is. No. And then Rogue says, but that's not the world. No. You know, Kitty probably went outside, took a picture. There was nothing there. And then I talked to Xavier.
Yep.
You know, and he remembers things that didn't happen. And she kind of recounts the history of the X-Men.
Yeah, very briefly. Just right basically saying, you know, they were mutant heroes working out of a school. Then a decimation happened by a witch. And then a war was fought over a child. So, like, this is all of the big X-Men arcs over the last, like, probably decade or so at this point.
Yeah.
I will say, having read, I think between us reading this and us starting this and us now recording 3 months later, I've read House of X again. Or not House of X, House of M, I'm sorry. And I will say, I think this story works as like a little contained. Obviously, it doesn't have the impact on the future of the X-Men that House of M does. I think this works better as a comic book, though, like as just a story than House of M.
House of M is really problematic as an actual thing to read. Like the ideas are really cool in it. And a weird thing, I also reread that at some point. And some of the tie-ins are much better than the actual comic.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we all kind of turned against Bendis. And I think it's about time, you know, like that comic is very frustrating.
It just doesn't make like they don't this. I mean, I don't know why we're I'm sorry to even bring this up and get us on this tangent, but like it doesn't like you don't have any time to sit with anything that happens like this alternate universe that they created. It's just almost immediately like a girl wakes up and knows the truth and goes and wakes a bunch of Avengers up and X-Men up. Like that's it. Like that's the big thing. Like it doesn't sit with itself for any length of time, which is why some of the side issues are better because like you get those like stories filled out of what's been happening.
The world. Yeah. Like spend time in the world and the whole tragedy of this idea of like this world where everybody got what they wanted, which is, this is an echo of that. You get to see what certain people are giving up.
Yeah.
You know, so like Layla Miller pops up and like, yeah, Hawkeye's not giving anything up. He was dead. But then you read the Spider-Man tie-in and it's like, this was real good for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, who's has a rough time. She kind of recounts this and Magneto says, yeah, nothing adds up. You know, I'm the one who sent Kitty Pryde on her mission initially, for this. However, there were answers closer. He takes his blueprint that he has of Fortress X. And he's like, I built this. This is my ground. And I
have peed on every corner of this fortress.
I claim this section, LeBeau. But there's a room right in the center of it that he didn't make.
Yeah.
You know, that's a real cool idea. And he's got to find out what that is. So he recruits Gambit to break in.
Yep. Cool use, I think, of both Gambit and Rogue here. Like, just like, oh, yep. I need you to, like, do some stuff.
Yep.
We go back over to the Western Barracks and the Moonstar Cadre, where her team is kind of showering and changing after the battle outside. And X begins to talk to Daniel Moonstar and basically seeding the fact that Magneto is working against them. Like, he's been the general for them for 3 years. But, like, isn't it really weird that he killed Rogue and Gambit without any kind of question? And, like, if there's nobody else that can answer that, like, doesn't some of that guilt maybe fall on the man who killed her? Like, basically just seeding that Magneto could be a bad guy.
Yes. Planting that seed of doubt for her. This is a New Mutants comic. Daniel Moonstar was the main character of that comic before this crossover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is why we spend a lot of time on, like, the Hunter Squad.
Yes.
In this crossover. We cut over to Magneto, and he's taking the loud way in, just busting into the brig. All the weird, shitty danger sentinels pop up. He just dismantles them, walks in on Kitty Pryde, and just gets rid of all of her restraining technology in one move.
Yep.
Doing cool Magneto shit.
And then takes her to see Magneto. Xavier, sorry. We go back over to Gambit and Rogue, who were, like, going through the bowels of the fortress to avoid any kind of detection. Rogue kisses Gambit here and says that was for luck, which is, you know, they're kind of a, even in this, like, fake world that we're living in, like, some stuff is still the same.
They're natural chemistry.
Yeah.
Like, they're not hooked up in this world, but they still have this attraction.
And then we get this, like, full page splash, and it just reminds me that I sometimes hate the art in this comic book, because Rogue's face is so bad here. I don't even know what to do about it.
People are really off model in it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, I don't hate this drawing. It just looks like Cyclops' stepmom. Like,
sure.
This could be Cat. What's her head?
Wilma Summers. Is that the?
Yeah. one of the Saxville Summerses, or something like that. It just doesn't look like Rogue. But she took his thievy skills. You know.
Yeah.
We cut over. Magneto dismantles Charles Xavier's super bed. That's keeping him comatose. He's just getting drugs injected, so he stays in a deep, dreamless sleep. Give me that. And he wakes up, and he's, like, in the middle of something. You know, his memories are right before he got put to sleep.
Yes. So he's, like, 3 years, no time has passed for him whatsoever. Like, he was in the middle of a fight with somebody. He says she.
Yep.
We don't know who that is yet, but, like, he immediately goes back into it. And then he gets himself so worked up that he has to go to sleep again, which I can definitely identify with nowadays.
Yes. Taking a page from Jean Grey from the cartoon.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm so excited. I need to lay down.
I cannot wait for Gene will probably faint a little bit less in this cartoon.
We'll see. 10 episodes doesn't leave a lot of time for fainting, but we'll see.
No. There's these alarms are going off, and as they're getting ready to get nappy Xavier out, Daniel Moonstar comes in.
Yep.
And has one of the worst lines in this comic. Perennial question, how fast can you run with a sick man in your arms and an arrow through your head?
So
that's not what perennial means.
Yeah.
No one's ever asked that question before in their life. But, like, I like Mike Carey, but that's not good dialogue.
It's not at all. No.
Yeah.
We back to Rogue and Gambit, who are sneaking into what looks like a house now from the fortress. And they're basically, doesn't look like anybody has been here. And then we see that we're actually in a lab. And I never remember this dude's name. Dr. Nemesis is, like, frozen in time, basically. And weirdly enough, like, there's power to this lab. So, like, stuff is happening. And then Rogue sees a box. It's the box. It's like the briefcase from Pulp Fiction. She's going to open it. It's going to glow in her face. She's going to look really surprised. Except we're going to be able to see what it's actually in the box, which is fun.
Yeah. Over the course of this kind of clever, we don't have to fight, something's going on, standoff between the New Mutants and Magneto, we have a series of pages where the right panel is the box falling, her dropping the box in shock.
Yes.
You know, and this is, again, it's just a version of the scene that we've had. Like, we've been lied to this whole time. Like, yes, we're under siege. We're fighting for mutant lives. Well, what if you were being fooled by those above?
Yeah.
You know, et cetera, et cetera. You killed Gambit Rogue. I didn't kill anybody. I'll take you to them. You know, you just have to trust me. for a moment.
And he gets through to Danielle, who's like, okay, like let's stay down, but like let's calm down, but like let's stay on our toes, basically, right? Which then is when something else attacks. That's when the Force Guardians show up. Force Warriors.
The box drops.
Force Warriors.
And the Force, the Force Warriors immediately slam Magneto into the ceiling.
Very funny.
With this. And just basically come in with a big threat. You know, Magneto is relieved of his command.
Yes.
Fortress X is now under our jurisdiction. Rogue walks over to, or Gambit walks over to Rogue and says, what was in that box? And she says, everything. You know, I understand why outside the walls there was nothing. It's because somebody stole the universe and put it in here.
Whoopsie.
And there's a little box with the universe in it.
Yeah.
An appropriately cool, trippy idea.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I don't think does Legion have this power to put the entire universe? Like, they're the Guardians of the Galaxy in this box?
the Guardians of the Galaxy are in the box.
Is Thanos in the box? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Thanos
is in the
box.
It's a, like, what, I mean, like, there's a lot of powerful, like, it's Galactus in the box? Like, this could have been released.
Galactus is in the box, man.
Galactus.
Legion has this power. Yeah, this little personality of Legion's got this power.
Yeah.
That he develops.
Terrifying. So that he would have this amount of power.
Yeah. It's just, you know, when you make an alternate reality like this, this could be a metaphor, right? That the universe is in the box. It might not just be literally everything shrinking down.
I refuse to believe that comic books work in metaphors. I'm sorry.
I know comics writers use metaphors. They're all cowards. or fucking Neil Gaiman. That is our ending here.
Yeah. Universe is in a box. Much like my dick. So that's going to end this issue. I think this is pretty good. I had forgotten that this was a New Mutants comic reading it. So like, I kept wondering why these like random mutants were showing up and like none of the big guys. And I was like, oh yeah. Okay. Like this is a New Mutants comic. So like, of course the New Mutants have to show up and do something.
Throwing a bone to the people who weren't reading the crossover. You know, who are just reading New Mutants.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember this time, like during the early 2000s to mid 2000s, when the New Mutants was getting relaunched, what feels like once every 2 years.
Right.
And it was just like never taking. You know, like this, I think this is maybe the longest rerun on it, or longest like new run on it from this, because it's still going now in Krakoa era. But it's that's like 30 issues or something.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. It's surprising. Yeah. It's one of my least favorite of those books. Like, I took another stab at, you know, getting caught up with Krakoa era and ran smack dab into X of Swords.
Man.
X of Swords is rough.
It's so weird that, like, because I love the Hox Pox era. Like, I love those. That I guess miniseries or whatever you would call it. Like, I think that's just some really like great writing and some really like an interesting take on the X-Men. And it makes me like so hungry for like more X-Men stories to like go in. But I, like, every time I run into a wall of just like stuff happening, and I just don't want to. I guess I should just run over to the Hellfire saga and see what's happening at Gala and see what's happening over there. Because
wait, and then that turns into like Inferno and Sins of Sinister, like these other crossover kind of event things that seem a little bit more interesting to me. I think that Jonathan Hickman, and this happened when I read his Avengers run as well, he has this weird obsession of like introducing new Eternals, basically. Like, he loves to introduce a new race of also superheroes that are more powerful than our regular superheroes.
I'm not interested in that at all.
I don't care about it. Yeah, like the Arrakans or whatever. And then going back and forth with the Apocalypse's, you know, children and former people and stuff. It's just surprisingly boring. Just a bunch of new bad designs hanging out. And this happened in a big way in his Avengers run. He loves it. I don't get it.
By all accounts, I was looking at Twitter the other day and I saw that like Gail Simone is probably going to be like heading up a lot of the X-Men stuff nowadays. I don't know how.
I saw that too.
And that makes me super interested in modern X-Men stuff. The new Ultimate X-Men came out. It's supposedly very, very good. I haven't read it yet, but several people have been like, you need to get on this. And I'm like, an issue a month? What am I? Living in the 80s? What are we talking about here? Absolutely not.
Gail Simone's great, you know?
Absolutely.
And we all knew this was going to happen with Krakoa. Like, if they were going to start bringing X-Men into the movies, they're going to go back. Like, there'll be a school again.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff. Yeah, like, it's... I did read in Krakoa era shit. This is just rambling now. Me and Jeremy haven't talked in a little bit. I read the X-Men Fantastic Four crossover that's from the Krakoan era.
Okay.
And I would recommend that. That is a good self-contained story. Zeb Wells, who I'm not super familiar with, but is pretty good.
Interesting.
It's about Franklin Richards, like whether, you know, because he's a citizen of Krakoa because he's a mutant.
Whether or not he can put a universe in a box.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah. He's the one who did before with Heroes Reborn, like in the 90s.
Yeah.
He's good at putting universes in boxes.
I'm gonna make another effort on modern day X-Men stuff, like post Hoxbox stuff, and try to keep up with the Krakoan stuff.
If I can skip X of Swords, I think I can do it. Yeah. I think I just need to read a summary of that,
and then just move on from there, because I just want the stories. Yep. Like, I just want the characters and the stories and that kind of stuff. But like the idea, like, of X of Swords, for example, just is exhausting to me even just thinking about it.
You know, so. Like, Nightcrawler became Spider-Man. Nightcrawler is like a Spider-Man now.
Sure.
Like, that's all pretty interesting. I mean, I want to see Nightcrawler Spider-Man. Like, he doesn't have spider powers. He just dresses up as Spider-Man. Like, why the fuck did that happen? Like, I want to get to that stuff. I just don't want to get through fucking X of Swords.
Exactly,
yeah. Yeah. 22 issues. If you like this show.
Yes.
Yeah. Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV.
Go check it out. There's tons of exclusive content. I haven't been keeping up to date with Real Lich Hours, but I've listened to the first 4 or 5 episodes and loved it. So that's a
nice.
Just an example of one exclusive podcast that you can get on the network by joining the Patreon. Also access to the community Slack server, which is super fun, presumably still. I haven't been there in like a year or so.
Yeah. No, it's still going strong.
I'm bad at keeping up with social media at this point, so I'm just like, okay, I'm not, yeah.
No Corwin can convict you. We appreciate that. You can also leave a range of reviews for the show, places that you can tell your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell all of your step cousins at the next funeral. They'll be excited to listen to you. Just anything but about anything except the death of their uncle. That's what we're not talking about.
If you don't know a bunch of people who are way into Age of X in the year 2024, we understand.
True.
But a bunch of people will probably be watching X-Men 97. Be a great jumping on point. And if you want to review for X-Men 97, like, I don't want to rewatch that entire cartoon, but you could re-listen to that entire podcast series where we did. Mm-hmm. That's real good and probably a great way to take in that information, because it's, you know, there's some low cards in that deck.
I need to
update it. I like that show.
I need to update it. But there's a page on our website, if you go to daysoffuturecast.com, that's called Episode Guide. And that will give you a breakdown of every single thing that we have done on this podcast, except for maybe like the last like 40 episodes or so. But that includes all of the movies that we've done. Like, it's got links to the individual episodes, including X-Men, the animated series. We've covered all of the X-Men movies. All of the Fox era stuff. We did 2 episodes on Deadpool 2. That seems weird. I guess we were excited about Deadpool 2.
It was long. We had a lot of stuff to say about it.
But
like,
we've done a bunch of the crossovers and the comic books, and all of that stuff is like right there for you to check out. So go check daysoffuturecast.com/episode guide or ep guide, as I shortened it too. So
yeah, we'd appreciate that.
Yeah,
and we'll see you next time.
See you next week, everybody.